Hello and welcome to Dirty Lazy Girl, a podcast that offers realistic girlfriend support and problem solving for imperfect people like me. I'm Stephanie Laska, author and creator of Dirty Lazy Keto. I lost 140 pounds by breaking all the rules and becoming a weight loss rebel.
And I'm Tamara Snezik, a professor of sociology, Stephanie's co-host, and her Dirty Lazy Girl partner in crime. Every week, we'll tackle a potential obstacle in your way with unconventional, dirty, or lazy problem-solving strategies. Let's get you started. It's season three of the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast, and today's obstacle is to stop stalling already. No more weight loss excuses.
Oh, I hear that one, Tamara. You know what? Sometimes I feel like I'm hosting a food confessional, like a priest. Okay. People come up to me all the time with these long, detailed stories about why they haven't started their weight loss journey, what they had for breakfast, what they had for lunch, what problems they're having. I mean, a lot of these people I don't even know or have rarely even had a conversation with. It's almost interesting. But here's the weird part is that all of their stories I've noticed over the years, they have a very similar theme to them. The same kind of excuses I notice come up over and over again. So, you know, A, I'm curious what the heck they want me to say to them. I feel like they want an absolution, you know, like a priest would do. But in reality, I just want to be honest with them and encourage people to stop stalling.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are looking for an out. Like I've done that myself. I mean, looking back now, you know, in hindsight, I'm scared. I'm nervous because making a change is really, really stressful. And so rather than hitting it straight on, we hem, we haw, I'll speak for myself. I wait for the stress to go away, but guess what? It's not going to go away. Starting a diet is just going to be stressful. It's a change. So we just have to jump in. But first, before we jump in, we're going to take one quick break.
Well, Tamara, I agree with you that starting Dirty Lazy Keto or any kind of change in the way of eating, I don't think it's something to dread or worse to be fearful of. As I share in the Dirty Lazy Keto cookbooks, and there are three, we'll show one here is the Dirt Cheap Cookbook. We've got the No Time to Cook Cookbook. And of course, the original Dirty Lazy Keto Cookbook. But in all of these recipe books I share, these are decadent, delicious foods. I mean, the snacks, the drinks, the desserts, they're all low carb, but they're high fat, so they taste amazing. So I'm just personally extremely grateful that I discovered this way of eating. This has been the key for me to lose 140 pounds, but more importantly, I've kept that weight off now for almost a decade. So Dirty Lazy Keto saved my life, and I'm hoping today's episode can help our listeners maybe overcome some of that stress and anxiety about getting started or keep going.
Thanks, Stephanie. Let's go through the most common excuses people give to stall for time and avoid trying to lose weight. And I bet our listeners are going to recognize some of these common excuses because we hear them all the time in the DLK Facebook support group. In fact, some of these we pulled right off the support group.
Right off the press.
Yes.
So this kind of makes me laugh, Tamara. Like we are serious and we're compassionate about our message today, but some of these are a little bit funny. Wouldn't you agree?
I think they're really funny. And I think we need to do a little tough love a little bit and just call people out on their excuses.
And it's not like we're saying these are all just other people. Like you and I both admitted that we've been there. We've struggled with these same excuses. So, you know, hopefully our listeners understand that we are poking a little fun, but we're doing it from a place of love and also from personal experience.
Yeah,
exactly. Because who are you going to call, Tamara? Who are you going to call?
Excuse busters.
Who are you going to call?
Excuse busters. That's
Yeah. Dunna, 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 dunna. Does anyone know that movie or am I all by myself?
No. Also, yes. Excuse busters.
That's
awesome.
From what? The 1980s? Is it 1980s? Or oh my gosh.
We're so they old. Did a remake.
Okay. Let's go with that. We'll pretend that's our generation. But that's the Ghostbusters theme song. In case you weren't picking up my amazing singing voice.
Exactly.
So what's our first excuse that we hear and we've also used? So what's the first one we should tackle?
The one I think, oh my goodness, I've heard so many times is I don't have access to specialty keto food where I live.
That is so common. I'm always dying to know what specialty keto food they find is so important, because I'm like, do they know something I don't?
Yeah.
Like, what the heck are they talking about? Is there a magic food available that no one told me about?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
What's that store, Aldi, or what, the one where they get the keto bread from?
Well, Aldi is like a different version of Trader Joe's, right? And that's a pretty common grocery store. Do you have to go to Aldi to get the
food? That's the thing. Like, I hear about this store and I'm like, oh, we don't have that store.
We don't have Aldi in our area.
Yeah. First of all, there's the internet. Okay. So yeah, that excuse is lame, because internet gives you access to Aldi and whoever else. But right. Okay, let's say you don't have internet and you live in, you know, Podunk nowhere, where there's just a plain old...
There's food where you live, people. I don't know what kind that there is, but in my community, like Tamara, we're in a rural part of California. We don't have Aldi. We don't have specialty stores. No. And I buy most of my stuff at Walmart. Last time I checked, Walmart's like everywhere.
Yeah. And what are we eating? I mean,
what is going on?
Yeah. Today for lunch, I had sausage and peppers. Like, you can get that anywhere. There's no chicken.
I had some eggs for breakfast, people, and some I'm thinking eggs are available in your community. But here's the thing. I think people get caught up in stuff like this. Like, they see on the internet, like MCT oil, or I need collagen powder, or all these like funky things that I personally don't even eat. So I have a feeling that's what's going on. Or they think like, oh, I need that specialty keto cereal I heard people talking about, that's $8 a box. No, you don't. Yeah. I don't eat that stuff.
And in fact, I would argue, and tell me if you agree, that that could actually hurt you more than help you. Like, if I eat too many of those keto foods, I start gaining weight.
Totally. They're all the commercially high packaged, high calorie, all those keto, quote unquote, snack foods. Most of them are not really that good for you to begin with. So
no. In fact, keep it simple. You should be only shopping in a regular old grocery store.
Normal food. Nothing fancy required.
Yeah.
Done. Okay, excuse busters. Check.
That's right. Busted.
Busted. If you are using that as your excuse.
Okay. The next one, I do sympathize with. And I may have even used it as an excuse myself.
We've all done it.
My hormones make it impossible for me to lose weight. Now, for me, it would be menopause, but it didn't have to be that, right? There are other hormone problems.
There's a lot of hormone problems I hear frequently. Yeah. Like you said, you mentioned menopause, but I also hear hypothyroidism. I hear PCOS, which is like where you're not regulating your, what would you call that? PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are all like hormone issues, right? Mm-hmm. Women use that as an excuse. I can't lose weight because I'm hypothyroid. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
I can't lose weight because I'm menopausal. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
How do we know this? Because thousands of people have done it. You're not the only one suffering or, you know, wallowing in your hormonal issues.
Yeah. And it's not to say that it won't present challenges. Sure, I don't lose weight as fast as I did when I was 20, for sure. But does that mean I should just give up a diet? You know what I mean? Like, no, I just have to change how I do things. I have to change how I eat. I have to be a little bit stricter on certain things. And then, you know, maybe not expect unrealistic, you know, 10 pounds a week. I just have to bring it back to reality, because I have these hormone changes. Weight loss is going to be slower, but I can do it. People do it all the time.
People overcome amazing challenges. You know, right before this episode, I pulled a couple of just articles here. Like, here's Women's World. We've got Carol and her sister Barbara on the cover. Look, they lost 284 pounds together. Barb, 62. Carol's 59.
There you go.
That's ridiculous. Here's Teresa Ruiz. She's age 63. She lost 90 pounds during quarantine. These are people on Dirty Lazy Keto, not just random strangers. These are people that I'm friends with, that I care about, who've, you know, gotten familiar with the Dirty Lazy Keto program, and they've been successful. I guarantee you, these women are not, you know, 20 and running around, you know, 10 miles a day. They're the age that we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it can be done, people.
It can be done. It is. You need to take that excuse off the table.
Excuse busters.
Busted.
Busted. You may not like what we have to say.
Yeah.
But it's true.
It is true.
I'm going to go on to number three because I got some, another couple show and tells I grabbed.
Oh, goody. Okay.
This one I hear all the time. And this one does make me laugh, I have to admit.
Okay.
I don't have a lot of compassion for this one because I'm like, what?
I don't either.
Here it is.
It's lame.
It's kind of lame. Here it comes. I don't like avocados, so I can't do dirty, lazy keto. I'm all, what? Or let me substitute that same word. Here's another one. I don't like cauliflower, so I can't do dirty, lazy keto.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. Or, give up.
Wait, one more. Not done yet. There's hundreds of these, but here's another one. I don't like eggs.
Yeah.
So I can't do dirty, lazy keto.
Yeah.
Really? Tell me what you think about that, Tamara.
Well, the egg one's hilarious because, well, I can't do an egg fast, therefore I can't do keto because I don't like eggs. And it's like, first of all, who said you had to do an egg fast?
Nobody. Don't think you should do that in the first place. I think that's a horrible idea. Please cut that from your idea plan.
Yeah. And hey, how about just don't eat eggs?
Oh my gosh. Are you serious? That's the answer? If you don't like avocados, you should just not eat avocados?
Like, what do they think it is? Like, dirty lazy keto is not a checklist of you have to eat a cup of this and a half a pint of this. And there's nothing about the diet that says you have to eat any food. Nothing.
In fact, I would argue the opposite. I think dirty lazy keto is all about being flexible, about eating foods that make you happy and satisfied, and figuring out, you know, low carb, high protein, high fat foods that actually taste good to you. So if you don't like avocados or cauliflower or any food for that matter, don't eat it. Find something else you like.
I know. And Stephanie's, your cookbooks have tons of recipes with tons of variety of ingredients. So if you find one with avocado, just skip it.
Just
go right to the next
avocado.
One.
Go on to something else. People write me letters too. They're like, well, I was planning to do this and I was going to make this dish, but it calls for an egg and I'm allergic to eggs. Well, I don't know what to do with that. Like, go on to a different recipe. There's 100 in each cookbook. And I'm being a little bit facetious here, but you know yourself better than anyone else. Yeah. So if you're allergic to something or you don't like a food, you know what you tend to do in those situations. I don't know. So if you, in your lifestyle, you've been alive for how long, don't like eggs or can't eat eggs, you know what works to substitute that. I don't. I'm not an expert on you. You have to do you.
Yeah.
Figure that out for yourself.
Yeah. And you can't, the diet is so flexible that you can't say that you can't do the diet without eggs. Yeah. You absolutely can.
Or like lose weight in general. You can't blame all weight loss on, you know, eggs or cauliflower or any magic food. Yeah. It just doesn't.
No.
We're going to call BS on that one.
That one's a big pile of poo-poo.
We're going to go ding. Excuse me. It has been busted, people.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, number four. This one we hear too, which is, and I think I've used this one too.
Everyone's used all of these. I mean, we are kind of having fun, but you know, this is the podcast, people.
Yeah.
But really, we've been there. We've all done this. We've all used a variety of these excuses. So don't feel alone.
Yes. And this one is, I've tried keto before and it didn't work. Therefore, it won't work this time. And that may be totally true, right? But it's like, okay, there's two things you can do with that. Try a different diet or examine how you did it and why it didn't work and adjust the diet. Again, this diet is very flexible. So if you ate too much fats the first time, if you kind of look, you know, reflect on it and then, okay, we'll try it and then cut back on the fats, or you didn't eat enough protein, or maybe you didn't hydrate enough. There's a lot of little, a lot of big adjustments can make a big difference. Don't you think?
Well, I'd be curious to say, like you said, when people say like, oh, I've tried keto before, you know, what does that mean? Like for me, dirty lazy keto is 100% different from keto. Yeah. So I want to clarify that if someone tried quote unquote keto and they didn't have great success, I always point out, well, have you learned the way I do it? Because my way is totally different. You know, I don't recommend having fat goals and eating fat just for the purpose of eating fat. I mean, there's like a million different differentiations, but just to point that one out. But like you said, I think it's important to examine, well, what were you doing before? Because like you said, a lot of people are just eating garbage food and then curious why they're not losing weight. So I would have to poke at that one a little bit and ask people to maybe do some more research and figure out, like you said, where they went wrong. I would not agree at all that ketogenic diets don't work. I would completely disagree.
Yeah.
And the reason why is, how can it be bad to cut sugar and refined flour? How can that be bad?
Yeah.
Like, is there any doctor, anyone on the planet telling you that eating sugar is good for you?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess no.
Yes.
So Dirty Lazy Keto, cutting back on white flour, cutting back on refined carbohydrates like sugar, that's a good thing. And no one could ever, ever argue with me that it's not going to work, because it's just not good for you. Sugar does nothing for your body. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. So just making that one change will make a huge difference, both in your health and maybe even weight loss. And if it's not, like, you know, try, like I said, tweak it around, you know,
more research, learn more about the lifestyle before you make a knee jerk reaction or an excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number five.
Okay. Number five, I'm over 40, so I can't lose weight at my age.
That one kills me. I'm like, what's happening over 40? Because that would mean, Tamara, you and I are like doomed for failure.
We are doomed.
Is that true? I mean, isn't it like 99% of everybody in the Dirty Lazy Keto Facebook support group over 40?
We have a lot of people over 40 and a lot of success stories. So that one's an easy one to bust. Just look at our support page. It's full of success stories.
In fact, I just got a letter, an email today that I'd love to share with you, Tamara.
Yeah.
This is so cute. Oh, it fell on the floor. Hold on. This is from Barbara in Michigan. She wrote me just this morning, like literally 2 hours ago. Barbara says she's been listening to all the videos, reading the books. She says, for the first time in her life at age 79, I found people that can relate to me. It's helped me so much. I've already lost 8 pounds and I'm on my way to losing another 20.
79. Mm. Holy crap.
Yeah. And here's the deal, you guys. I have access to the metrics of, you know, who's in Dirty Lazy Keto, who's following the plan. And I'm here to tell you that the majority of people in the group are women. It's like 98%, 99%. It's not to say men aren't part of the group, but the majority are women and they are over the age of 40. So most of the people here and trying to support each other and reading my books, they're in the same age group as you. So you're not alone. Just because you might see one post of someone who's younger in a bikini or something, that doesn't speak for the whole group. I just want to clarify that.
Yeah, for sure. So age, again, busted.
Busted.
Number six. Yeah, number six.
This one happens a lot too. And it kind of goes along with number one about specialty foods. But number six is, people say pretty often, well, I can't afford all this fancy keto food. I can't afford this.
I think you wrote a book about that.
I sure did. I got on my soapbox about that one too.
Yeah. The dirt cheap. Yeah.
Dirt Lazy Keto, Dirt Cheap Cookbook. This one, I was so embarrassed to write this, Tamara, because my family's always pretty broke. My husband and I, you know, various times in our marriage, either he was out of work or I was out of work, or there was a time where we were both out of work, and we really had to figure out a way to feed a family of four with very limited means. And we learned to shop at, you know, discount stores and kind of off-label type things. And I don't know. I mean, the stories I tell in my book are a little bit embarrassing, but they're true. You don't need to buy fresh, expensive, organic, free-range, line-caught, you know, yada yada food from specialty stores.
Yeah. No, you don't. No, you can buy cheap cuts of meat, just plain old, you know, veggies that are not particularly expensive. Frozen, I mean, it's
canned.
Frozen, canned. I mean, there is no excuse.
Buying in bulk.
Yeah. And I hear that a lot too. That's another one on the Facebook. Well, I can't afford, or they'll go on and say, you know, how can I do this diet? I just don't have any money. And everyone's like, it's easy.
It's totally easy. And you and I did a whole podcast about this, about time and money. And it's had, you know, a couple thousand views on YouTube. So make sure you search for that, because we share a ton of our special tips from our childhood and our families, and just little tricks that we both do and that we've heard other people do to make this lifestyle more affordable. And we're talking about eating healthy. We're not necessarily talking about keto diet. We're talking about eating healthy, getting enough chicken, getting enough protein in your diet, getting healthy fats, and just ways to do that without it costing a fortune.
Yeah. And I think I'm stealing this right from you because you said it recently and I forget which podcast, but, and what's more expensive, being unhealthy and going to the doctor and having high doctor bills? I mean, you know, that's also very expensive.
Right. The cost of life. It's like, I remember, I mean, I can just tell you millions of stories, but I just remember when I was a heavier person, close to 300 pounds, I had no energy. And I remember my kids were little toddlers. I'd be trying to play with them on the floor, laying on the couch. I'd fall asleep. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had no energy. I felt just constantly craving garbagey, you know, Cheez-Its and crackers and sandwiches and croissants and all that kind of like bready stuff to try to give myself more energy to wake up to live. And for me, if I was to continue that lifestyle of eating like cheap cereal and soda and all of that, I'd end up on diabetes and I'd end up on all the different diabetic medications, which are layered. It's not like you're on one. I mean, you end up on the first one, the second one, the third one, and then you end up on insulin. And, you know, one of my good friends, her mom ended up in a wheelchair, ended up blind, having amputated limbs, and she ended up dying like in her 50s because of this. So it's not a joke, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what is the cost of that?
Yeah. And, you know, you can prioritize your money too, you know, like if there's a specialty keto thing that's a little pricey, but it helps you in your diet, well, what else can you give up? Because it seems like, you know, the little subscription to your makeup thing is worth the price of better health, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point. It's like you have to prioritize your family's income and resources. Do you need this fancy car? Do you need these expensive vacations or eating out regularly or, you know, coffee drinks? Or, I mean, there's just a million ways you can look at it, like you said, and figure out what's most important to you. So don't let that be an excuse to stop you.
No, it won't. People who are on a really tight, almost impoverished budget can make this diet work.
You can. Dirty Lazy Keto dirt cheap. I mean, seriously, every recipe, it was such a fun challenge. It was $10 or less for the whole recipe.
Yeah. That's good. That's
awesome. Can be done
for a whole family. Speaking of families, that's our next one.
Ooh, number 7.
Yeah. My family won't eat this way.
Wah.
Call the whambulance.
Whambulance. Woo. Well, is that an excuse or what? Like, what's going on there? Are you cooking for the whole family and no one's participating? They're all just sitting on the couch while you do all the work?
I mean,
literally is, I mean, that's like a whole nother conversation to me.
There's some family dynamics and I get it. It makes it harder when you're trying to eat and your family's eating, you know, chocolate bonbons around you.
Maybe at first.
Yes.
And it says my family won't eat this way. First of all, do they have to eat everything you eat?
Right.
I don't think so. I mean, my kids still eat, you know, regular ice cream and they eat cereal and things like that. Do I stop them? No. But when I make dinner, for example, I make normal food. It's like, here's some meat, here's some vegetables, here's some sauce or, you know, that it's cooked in fat. And if y'all want potatoes or rice or something else, then cook it. And they can, and they do sometimes. They'll be like, oh, I want rice with that. So go ahead. Here's how you boil water.
Yeah. And if you have little ones, you can make them that and just don't eat it. I mean, I know it's a challenge.
Is it though?
Yeah, I wonder. Is it as much challenge as we put in our head?
There it is. Yeah. I mean, I think that's it. It's like you can convince yourself this is such a horrible excuse and it's preventing you from eating in a healthier way. But really, is it?
Yeah. I've seen people who've had not only no support from their, I mean, you know, from their family in terms of them eating the same way, but they're actually sabotaging them, trying to get them to eat their food. And I've seen them just, once you get a determination, you say, you know, no, sorry.
Nothing.
So yeah. So yeah, it's a challenge, but it's one that you can do it.
Yeah.
If you really want it.
Resources that I've put out there about this topic. I don't want, you know, to make complete light of this, but if you're using the excuse, well, my family won't eat this way, I just want to call BS on that. 'Cause you don't need your family to do everything that you do. And there is a way to, you know, modify this and make your lifestyle easing into it, where over time your family either adjusts or they pitch in.
Yeah.
There's a way around it.
And it's not that hard, actually.
At least I've
found it that way. Yeah.
Busted.
Well, I know.
Our excuse busters.
I know. Okay. What's number eight?
Number eight, this one, you know, and I do feel compassionate about it. And so I want to, you know, explore it a little bit more, where we often hear an excuse that says, my medical condition of blank makes it impossible for me to lose weight, to exercise, to eat healthy, you know, whatever. But the medical condition, that happens a lot.
It does happen a lot. And we mentioned some of them, like PCOS, but or hyperthyroidism or whatever. But even with exercise, I have bad knees. I can't, you know,
I have arthritis. I have gallbladder. That's a common one.
Yeah.
But the medical condition. And I mean, I understand that we all have medical conditions. I don't think people think about necessarily that they're alone in this, like, or they think they're alone in this. And I'm curious to know more about that. Like, people with all sorts of medical quote unquote conditions or situations or challenges are still able to overcome that and exercise and eat right. So I don't know. I want to kind of push back on that one a little bit.
Yeah. And that's, again, I go back to the flexibility of the diet. Nowhere in the diet says you have to run.
No one says that.
No. And in fact, no one even, we don't say a whole lot about exercise. You know, do it.
I try to sneak it in, you know, later. People who've read like Dirty Lazy Keto Get Started. You know, I admit that I had lost probably 50 pounds before I even considered starting to even move at all. And that was when I started to walk.
Yes.
So I don't really feel like that is going to hold water.
No. And there are all kinds of alternative exercise. Even if you can't walk, there are yoga.
There's always something you can do.
With the internet, it's limitless. Like, there's so, you know, just search. What do I do if I have a bad back and I can't walk? You know, you will find some kind of exercise on there. Mm-hmm. There's chair yoga where you never leave your chair. That's awesome. A lot of people use that who have arthritis and, you know, those kinds of issues. So there's always a way around it, either with exercise or the diet too, don't you think?
Well, here's the deeper issue, which maybe we haven't even touched on, is that these excuses are really a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yeah. I mean, at least that's how I look at them. It's like, if you're saying, well, my family won't eat this way, I've got no gallbladder, I can't afford this, I don't have access to these specialty foods. I mean, really what's going on here is a person, in my observation, is trying to convince themselves that they can't do this. Yeah. And it's like an out. And it's kind of like what I said in the beginning about the food confessional, when people come up to me, oh, I couldn't eat breakfast today because I'm like, well, who are you talking to? Like, are you trying to convince yourself? Because I don't believe any of what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a will, there's a way, and people have done it. Yeah. I've done it.
Yeah.
And it's possible. So you gotta check yourself on these things.
You do. I can't
solve the problem for you.
Yeah. For me, I know it's my anxiety. Change can be uncertain and difficult. And so for me, I'm delaying it when I make the excuses. Like, I'm just putting it off and putting it off, you know, because starting feels really hard.
Yeah.
So for me, it's about delaying, but also it's an out too for other people. Yeah. It's just, I know I need to do this.
It's complicated. I mean, we're trying to be silly a little bit and entertain everybody.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we want our listeners to identify what your personal excuse is and where your hot issue is that maybe could be looked at a little bit closer. Because there's always a way.
Always. Yeah. And there's always someone who will help, you know, who will support your excuse and say, oh, you're right. You don't have a gallbladder. You can't do this diet. And I think today we're going to be the little, you know, a little bit of the tough love saying, you can't.
Pretty sure I've actually heard the gallbladder thing, not to blow that one out of the water, but I've literally heard that like probably, you know, like 900 times in the Facebook group. So don't let these little excuses that you're coming up with, whatever they may be, don't let them pull you down and cause you to just stick in a rut.
Yeah. And, you know, just make it, use it as motivation to make you work harder
There you
to
go.
deal with it, you know. And that's what I love about the Facebook support group is if you have a challenge, really, you can always go on and say, how, you know,
Right.
how do you guys save money on the keto diet? Or how do you live with this, you know, hypothyroidism and on the diet? And actually people
And
will
there's
rally
a million
around
other people
you.
Will help you solve your problem if you're willing to hear it.
Bingo.
That's it.
Bingo. Yeah.
Here's another one of my favorites about number nine. Okay. This one is like, anyway, I almost, it's like, do we even include this? Because this one's like, everybody does this one.
People will announce it on the Facebook
right? Like,
group.
Like, da-da-da! Horns, trumpets. I'm going to start Dirty Lazy Keto after my vacation on Monday, after the holiday, on January 1st, or whatever.
After I, you know, get my promotion, or after I move.
After I've read all 50 books. After I divorce my husband. They always say, I'm going to start, is that key, like common phrase that all of us
like,
have in common.
After I've meal planned and prepped 400 meals.
Right. After I've saved up all of my recipes and planned and
Yeah. And I feel like saying, how about starting right now?
About like
right
the second.
Now.
How about none of that is necessary to postpone? It's not, I talk about this in one of the books where I talk about Dirty Lazy Keto is not a court date. It's not like you're going to prison, okay? It's not a sentencing where you need to eat all the chips in your house before, you know, as some kind of farewell celebration to carbs. Honestly, that is just garbage.
Yeah.
No more.
And that's a bad mindset. Like, oh, I'm going to be so deprived. Like, I'm going to prison. This is going to be a horrible death sentence. So I got to avoid it. And, you know, to me, it's like, actually, it's a positive thing. I'm going to feel so good. I'm going to get rid of my diabetes. I'm going to, you know, have all this energy. You know, there's a different way to look at it, but you can see the negativity when they say, well, I can't do it until I've, you know, done X.
It's an excuse. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah. Well, our final one, and this one we hear too, is in my culture, we have to eat fill in the blank, tamales at Christmas time.
Right. Beans and rice with every meal.
Yes. We have to have tortillas with everything. Like there's always, we use all of the Mexican food, but you could be fill in the culture.
Fill in the culture. Right? Doesn't matter what your family generally eats. That's a common excuse.
It's a very common excuse.
Yeah. And we know that's not true. Let's just be real.
Yeah.
In your culture, you don't have to eat anything. You can choose what you put in your body. No one's forcing you.
Yes. And there's all kinds of amazing modifications.
Modifications.
Low carb tortillas, to be honest with you, I feel like I can't go back to the regular ones. Have you tried them after eating the low carb ones?
I have not. And I even brought some out here.
There's
so many different brands on the market. Oh, I mean, if you must have a tortilla, there's a way you can find one that you like.
Yeah. And and in any culture, in any diet, there's some kind of substitution or there's some excuse you can give why you don't eat, you know.
I don't know if I'd use the word excuse.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to your family and friends, like
you just say, I don't want your black beans. I brought my own. I'm having these black soybeans that have, you know, 1 gram of net carb per half cup by Eden Organic.
Yeah.
If you must, there's always a Dirty Lazy Keto alternative.
Always.
And I think that's been my goal with the cookbooks is to try to bust that wide open. It's like, if you have to have bread, here you go. If you have to have a tortilla, here's my recipe. If you want non-bread, here's my recipe. I've come up with a substitute for everything if it's that important to you. But don't let that be an excuse that stops you from eating healthier and changing your life.
Exactly. Because you can still appreciate and celebrate your culture and do it in a low carb way. It's not that hard, people.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yes.
Excuse busters.
I know. Well, I'm curious if our listeners are struggling with these weight loss excuses and what helped you finally get started. So email us at Stephanie@dirtylazyketo.com or through Facebook or Instagram at Dirty Lazy Keto. If your comment is read on air during season 3, contact Stephanie to receive a prize. Now, before we get to our final hacks, let's take one quick break.
I wanted to do a quick recipe highlight for my final break. And this is from the Dirty Lazy Keto No Time to Cook cookbook, where every recipe takes 30 minutes or less. And the recipe highlight I wanted to do today is called delivery donuts. Donuts, people, did you hear me? I said donuts, and I'm going to show you a picture of what they look like.
Ooh.
And this is actually my grandmother's recipe, so it's kind of fun that we were talking about, you know, recipes from our culture. But these are delivery donuts, and if you'd like to check out how to make these, the recipe is actually on the Amazon detail page for the book. So if you go to the No Time to Cook cookbook on Amazon, if you scroll past the pictures of the cover of the book, there's a few sample recipes, and this is one of them. So you can actually get the actual recipe, delivery donuts, right there. It's delicious. My son was helping me make them, and I remember I was asking him to taste test the different recipes, and he was like, "Mom, why are you making normal people donuts?" And I'm like, "What do you mean normal people?" He's like, "These are delicious." And so that's how I knew I'd hit a home run with this recipe. So this is just one of the many in the No Time to Cook cookbook, and I hope you check it out today.
Thank you, Stephanie. So now we get to wrap up by sharing a technique that's helped us personally overcome stalling and excuses.
Well, for me, Tamara, my personal excuse to overcome any of these kind of challenges, because we've all been there. I don't want you to feel like I'm picking on you, because I've been through every single one of these. But for me, the technique is just baby steps and baby steps, baby steps, baby steps. So anytime I catch myself postponing or wavering over like a huge choice related to my health, like I'll give you an example. Over the holidays, my husband was like, "Oh, you know, we should buy a Peloton." And I'm like, "Oh, a Peloton, you know," and then I start wavering this huge decision over in my brain. But in reality, I know that's a stalling technique. Whenever I'm trying to think about all or nothing, like, "Oh, in order to exercise, I have to do this huge thing or this huge purchase." For me, that's a red flag that I'm stalling and trying to make excuses, because in reality, I don't think losing weight or getting healthy requires anything more. You know, it doesn't need a Peloton or a subscription to this or a meal plan, you know, box coming to the house. I really don't think you need any of that. I think just making tiny little decisions, one in front of the other, but all in the same direction, I think it's really as simple as that.
I do too, Stephanie. And my hack is a little simple too. And it's basically, rather than focusing on the negative things that are preventing you, you know, my culture, my, you know, my bank account, whatever, my family, instead force yourself to stop and focus on the positives and the strengths, like how good you're going to feel, how much energy, and what traits do you possess that will help you overcome these challenges? Like, you know, I mean, yeah, it's not to say there aren't actual real challenges after 40 or being on a medication or whatever. But you have strengths that you can bring to the table. I know just personally, I'm weird in that I love to exercise. Like, unlike other people, I don't mind. Like, I really get excited about exercise. So that's a strength I bring to it. And maybe you have some other strength. You're a really good planner. You're a really good shopper or whatever it is, but focus on your strengths and then focus on all the good things that are come, you know, going to come with staying on the diet.
I love that advice. Well, listeners, big picture here, you might be surprised to hear this, and I kind of hinted at it earlier, but when you hear yourself making those kind of excuses, recognize that excuses do actually make us happy in kind of a weird, perverted way. It's really excuses are a shifting of blame on someone or something else, and it really does let yourself off the hook. So be aware when that starts to happen, you know, with a lifestyle change, like the way you're eating, or even in other ways of your life where you start feeling those excuses bubble up, because they are a self-fulfilling prophecy. The only thing that's stopping you when you make an excuse, hello, it's you. Those excuses are not real. So get a hold of that and dig deep and focus, like Tamara said, on the positive.
And are you enjoying the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast? Show your support by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, leave a comment, and subscribe to the Dirty Lazy Keto channel.
And here's a quick review. This is actually an email I got from Liz P. She wrote me the cutest email with all sorts of little pictures of cars. And she said she was going on a road trip and she was listening to the Dirty Lazy Keto podcast to keep her encouraged while out on the road.
Good job, Liz. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please tell a friend. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts.
For more information about what we talked about today, or just to get in touch, visit DirtyLazyKeto.com. See you next week.